Any examples used are for illustrative purposes only and do not take into account your particular investment objectives, financial situation, or needs, and may not be suitable for all investors. It is not intended to predict the performance of any specific investment and is not a solicitation or recommendation of any investment strategy.
This is Another Money Show. Get set for another hour of the latest financial information and economic news affecting your bottom line. JR and Anthony are committed to helping more Americans like you optimize their income, reduce their tax risk, and reach financial freedom. So let's start the show. Here are your hosts, Anthony Correo and JR Rochford.
Here we are, your hosts, Anthony Correo and J.R. Rochford, taking a break from our day-to-day as financial advisors with Rochford & Associates, a fully independent, fourth-generation family office right here in the greater Phoenix area to bring you information you may not find on those other financial shows. We are aware the last thing you need is another money show, but we appreciate you being here. And no guests today, just stuck with myself and J.R.
Are we really financial advisors, Anthony? After having Joe Jaquint on the program last week, I think we've poked through some sort of a glass ceiling for financial advisors. I feel like now we are truly radio people. Is that fair? If you didn't catch last week's show, I would do that. I had several people reach out and they really enjoyed the show. I had a couple similar comments on how Dave and I are either related or we are very similar. And
Dave, you mean Joe?
I'm sorry, Joe. I'm thinking of another
one. Dave Hodges right now.
I am thinking of Dave Hodges because we are going to have Dave Hodges on the show coming up soon. We're kind of hectic the next few weeks, but then we're going to get a date in place. If you've never heard of Dave Hodges, he's very big. And with all due respect, this guy is amazing. He's way ahead of things. He was way ahead of things when Maui had problems. He's very, I almost want to call it underground. He was kicked off of YouTube, which means he's on the right track. Hundreds of thousands of followers on YouTube, and now he's not. He's got a thing called the Common Sense Show, and he actually does videos. And if you haven't heard of Dave Hodges, look him up and be ready because we're going to chat with him. So, no,
and
with Joe.
Another one for me being grumpy and not liking any AM radio or any of your other shows that you suggest. I like Dave Hodges, too. I think I got a lot of good information from the shows I've listened to.
And I'm glad that you don't like my old crabby butt because you are not my target audience. I'm looking for people that are smart, looking for people that have common sense. Dave's got the Common Sense Show, so I'm surprised you like it. Anyway, so we're going to have Dave on. But back to last week. We had really good positive feedback. Joe is me on steroids. He does a show every day, Monday through Friday, never seems to have trouble filling it. When we started the show and I would say to Sam, somehow you've got to get us a 6-hour show a week or 2 hours a day or something more. I would love to have more time. You know, we bring you stuff that you're not hearing on the other shows. We are not an hour long infomercial. That's one thing we will never be accused of being. And I'll tell you what, we have way more each week gathered for you than we can get to. I mean, and you know what? If you listen to a few select shows, if you watch a few select things, you know, videos, you're getting everything you need, but it's concentrated. Before recording, Sam and Anthony, I talked a second about the vice presidential debate this past week. What a hoot that was. You know, I mean, I learned that Tim is friends with school shooters. You can't make up some of the stuff that we are privy to. But you know what? You didn't need to watch that debate. Anthony, I won't even ask if you watched it. You didn't need to watch it. I'll watch it for you. I will gather stuff every week for you. So you won't be blindsided when things happen. You know, other than the Black Swan event that is likely to hit us soon. I my dear bride Sandy gave me a little black swan a while back and I keep it near me. So like when I'm getting ready for the show and I'm doing the articles, I'm always right next to a black swan. Feels kind of safe being near one. With that said, why don't we jump
into
World
War III? Is that a black swan event? Does that count?
That would not be a black swan event, especially because you and I have been talking about it for quite a while.
Everybody saw it coming.
I mean, World War III. And by the way, World War III, which one are you talking about? The Iran-Israel. Today, aren't we in Rosh Hashanah? I mean, isn't this a very, this is like New Year's Eve for Israel. This is heating up. my understanding, although you don't hear a lot about it on mainstream media, and I have a son in the military. He's in Japan. So, I mean, I'm watching the world maybe more close than other people. But anyway, so my understanding is that our administration has sent over 40,000 troops to that region. So is that the World War III we're watching? Are we keeping our eye on China? China, who's going nuts. China, who's talking about giving all the residents some housing gift. They're going to unveil a real estate gift, they're calling it. I don't know. I'm confused. Is China going to go into Taiwan? Is North Korea going to, you know, keep be making sure they're relevant, but accidentally hit a base somewhere? They actually going to be able to send something over to Hawaii? Ukraine and Russia. That is still pretty heated. Enough is enough. I mean, all I'm getting at is, you know, you're going to have to be a little more specific when you say, are we going to go into World War III? And no, that is not a black swan event. Because if a Scud missile hits my home today in Sun Center, Arizona, it will not surprise me. We're near Luke Air Force Base. So I hear, you know, some people find it annoying. I was in the Air Force. I find it exhilarating. The F-35s are very loud. You know, the sound of freedom. I love it. And actually, the more you hear it, sometimes you don't even really hear it as much. Yesterday, I saw a plane go over the house right here in Sun City. It looked like they were going towards Luke Air Force Base. It looked like a B-52 bomber. I mean, I was stationed out at Luke. I was out there for 3.5 years. This thing looked like it's not something you see very often, but it flew over. So that one really stopped me. And I just stared at it and I thought, you know, I mean, I'm nothing would surprise me. Do I feel safe? You know why I feel safe? Because I know where I'm going when I die. Do I feel safe in this country and in this world right now? I do not. Don't laugh at that. I know where I'm going. So let's get into this. I feel like all we're doing is chatting today like buddies. Like today's our blog, podcast, normal stuff show. But I want to get people prepared, not scared. I want to make sure people are proactive, not reactive. How do you do it? You make sure they know what's going on around them. Because Sandy, my wife, my beautiful Sandy, if you're listening, Sandy, I love you so much. She was watching The Masked Singer last night. So I'm sitting there looking over divorce papers, like, how do I get away? And she's watching The Masked Singer. So I don't know. I guess I'm safe. All right. Where do you start? I mean, I guess since you brought up World War III, let's start there for a second. The thing with Israel and Iran, what's really bothering me, part of it is if you don't scour the information that comes out, two things are probably happening. One, you're getting not enough information. You're just not seeing much about it. Or two, you might be getting misinformation. So I've learned when I hear something, I have to really dig into it. We had a client named David who popped in the office a couple of days ago. I guess that was on Tuesday, the day that things were heating up and Iran was shooting rockets. Well, I get a text alert that said that Iran shot 100 missiles into Israel. Then I get another text alert from a different source that said 1,000. Then as I start digging into it, I arrive at roughly 180. Well, I can tell you something. There is a huge difference between 100 and 180 and 1,000. So you really have to kind of watch the news you're getting. We do our best on the show to vet and verify stuff. But if you're just getting pieces of the news, you have no idea what's really going on out there. Anyway, that Israel and Iran, this really could be the tipping point. We have told you over the last year that our government is looking at bringing back the draft. You know, 2025 is when they said they're going to draft people. You know, we're sending, at this point, we're sending money and we're sending equipment to Ukraine. I don't know. I mean, Russia's saying they've had enough of it. They've had enough for a while, but it seems like maybe you're going to see boots on the ground in that area too. So stay tuned. We'll know when you know. Oh, and I do watch, you know, this is kind of a sideline to things. I do watch the press briefings. How exciting is that, Anthony? I watch the White House press briefings because I think it's kind of telling on what happens. It looks like KGP might have quit yesterday. She stormed off the stage because one of the reporters was asking questions about North Carolina. But I've been watching press briefings for a long time because that old adage, like, don't pee on my leg and tell me it's raining. I think that's a lot of what we get. So, Jean-Pierre. How does this woman in any reasonable environment have a job? This ridiculous person who gets so condescending and so angry. How does she have a job? Have you ever watched one, Anthony? Maybe I need to send you one or two just so you know what I'm talking about. Anybody that's listening to this show probably is familiar with her and has watched press briefings.
Was she the press secretary?
Yes, and she's in my opinion, not because she's a woman, not because she's a person of color.
I think
color.
I've seen videos of who you're talking about. I'm pretty sure I know who you're talking about, and I've thought the exact same thing.
Oh, it's horrible, and I'm trying to watch it more than usual right now because I'm trying to keep up on what's going on with Israel and Iran and North Carolina and everywhere, and it's just, I mean, I get so angry, and answer a question, you ridiculous animal. So I don't know how she has a job, but with that said, so let's move on for a second. I've said the word North Carolina a couple times. I mean, I'm just going to hit some of the current events. Every station out there is covering them, so we don't have to go in too far. You know, one of the things that I have a problem with this North Carolina stuff. Okay, so today, as we record, is October 3rd. Joe Biden is in Florida. I guess it was Tallahassee this morning, on his way to North Carolina. This thing happened last Thursday. The big Hurricane Helene was last Thursday. Joe was back at the beach between the hurricane hitting and today. He was back on the beach, from what I understand. I wasn't there with him, but that's what I've heard. Harris was in California, still campaigning. We told you last week she was campaigning in Pennsylvania with Zelensky from the Ukraine here to get some more money before that gravy train window closes. So Harris is campaigning. Biden's on the beach. There's people, literally, there's like 200 dead already. There's people that are really, really in deep trouble. There's still a huge, massive Duke Energy. How's it going with getting the power reinstalled? This is insane. So where I wanted to touch base, because we're a financial show, we're not a political show. So sorry, Joe, if I brought up your beach time, because that's political more. So these people in North Carolina are struggling. Everybody's kind of understands that, even if they see a little news. Here's what's up in my craw today.
Is that Haiti?
Haiti. No, are we going to go to Haiti today? Don't get me off track, Anthony. I like to, when I get with a thought, I like to finish it through before I get off on track. So the Haitians, if we have time, I guess we can get to Haiti. We can either go to Haiti and talk about what's going on there, or talk about the Haitians here, because I think there's more here than there now. But anyway, so back to North Carolina. Here's the part that really I can't let go on this show. So what I learned now, Mayorkas, who's done a fine job with everything in the country, Mayorkas came out yesterday on October 2nd, said we don't have enough money for FEMA for taking care of North Carolina. You literally, one of the figures I read said $5 billion more dollars for Ukraine last week. And you're coming out in front of a microphone and TV cameras saying we don't have enough money to take care of North Carolina. You and I, Anthony, have talked for the 6 years you've been in the practice about how we never seem to have enough money to make the Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid system functioning properly without being a ridiculous Ponzi scheme. They don't have money for that. But we have billions of dollars for Ukraine. We have money for Israel and the Hamas area. We seem to have money for whatever we want to. But this, I won't say a bad word because maybe that'll fall under slander. And I don't know if my umbrella policy is big enough to ward off Mayorkas. But if you're listening, sir, you may not want to go on a camera and have that recorded for posterity, that we don't have enough money for our own people. All right, let me settle down. I don't want to have the stroke until after I'm in the air. Actually, that would probably boost our ratings huge. Anthony, do you want me to stroke out actually as I'm recording?
Yeah, so, that'd be great.
Mayorkas said we don't have enough money to help our own people. And I thought about that, and I thought about the money that we've sent to Ukraine, and I thought about something else when I thought about Ukraine and all that. So here, I can't even, I don't even know how to finish this slide. All right, let me fast forward. And then I heard Harris this morning talking about the procedure to get the little money that we do have for our own people. My two thoughts are this. One, Harris came out, I think it was this morning, could have been last night. And it also, I have the video, so I know it's in front of a camera and on tape. She said they are going to come up with $750 for the people in North Carolina. $750. Not individual, not per person, per household. Oof. What the hell would anybody do with $750 that can't get food right now. They're underwater. By the way, you know how you, I looked into it a hair. Thank you, Cheryl, one of my main providers of things for me to look into and become scared, not prepared myself. So Cheryl sent me something. She didn't put this together. You know how you get the $750? You have to call them. I wonder if they put you on hold with beautiful music. You have to call them. There's a whole bunch of people that don't have cell phones right now. There's a whole bunch of people that don't know that, how to get to this money. You have to call them. I wonder if there's an alternate way online. Oh, wait, you don't have any power. But anyway, so to get your $750 per household, you have to reach out to FEMA. And FEMA is, according to Mayorkas, doesn't have enough money. So maybe it's first come, first serve. So pick up your phone now. Or better yet, fly to a different state where you're not underwater and there's actually working landlines and cell phones and internet, and reach out to FEMA because I guess they have a little bit of money for you. All right. The last financial thing I have to say about North Carolina, and believe me, I'm not trying to downplay the devastation, the destruction, the loss of life. I just, we're a financial show and everybody else can point that out. I want to point out the financial aspect. We seem to have plenty of money for newcomers. So yeah, I'm not sure when we're going to hear on the media that people from North Carolina and Florida, people that are struggling, you know, you get $750, but maybe we can put you up in a hotel. Oh, wait, the hotels are full. So we can't put you up in a hotel because they're all full. So I don't know. Sooner or later, when I talk about pillar number 10, we go into civil unrest. We go into civil war. We split up as a nation. All these little things are building up. Sooner or later, people from North Carolina are going to say, hey, 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 you give all you want to Ukraine of my tax dollars. And correct me if I'm wrong, Anthony. Why do we pay taxes if the government can just print money? If they've doubled the M2 money supply that you bring up periodically, how can they do that? They print money.
And well, you have to keep the stock market up.
Or they're doing it.
Not for flooding or FEMA and natural disaster helping citizens. It's to keep the stock market up. That's what money is for.
We bring you stuff every week that lets me think we should probably be cautious in our investments. And that's not what they're rewarding you to do, by the way. Anyway, so sooner or later, people are going to get pissed. And they're going to say you're giving gift cards and cell phones and hotel rooms and airfare and flights and food and all this stuff to other people. And you know what? You people that were born in North Carolina, screw you. Fend for yourself, kids. All right. Should we move on to a little bit better news than that? Why don't we move on to the International Longshoremen's Association? There's another timely thing for you. You know, when we say we're not an infomercial, we're a show about current events and how they may affect your finances and your life and your future. And we're never short on information. So here we got some more for you. I know a lot of people are starting to talk about it. So I'll just give you the brief view from my seat. First of all, you're the International Longshoremen's. Where are the Democrats? It should be longshore persons. So sorry, that made the show a little political. Oh, come on, Anthony. Have some fun with me. So anyway, it's the Longshoremen's Association. You're a union. You know, association sounds so harmless, but you're a union. So a couple little snags on that whole situation. One of the news articles, I'll use finger quotes if you're able to kind of read between the lines on the radio. So one of the news sources I read, they said that this could lead to a recession. And I thought, yes, it could. But then I also thought, technically, we've been in a recession for years. So, but this could lead to a recession. Maybe you should change it.
Recession gets thrown around a lot. But all it has to do is with, was it the GDP? If it goes up or down, or if it goes down for two quarters.
You're an engineer, two quarters. And was that the case? Was that the case at all over the last 3 years?
Oh, yeah. No, they changed the definition.
Correct. So, and
just,
I mean,
it's funny because it really has nothing to do with what's going on. It has to do with what GDP is.
Correct.
I'm tired. Because we're all screwed anyways. Sorry. I shouldn't have interrupted your rant.
I'm tired of people changing definitions. The definition of inflation, the definition of a recession. You know, I mean, and with Joe, we had a good time talking about how the Jerome Powell and Jared Bernstein and Janet Yellen and all the Jays, they tell us numbers that are completely false and then they redo them. But the original numbers come out and the stock market likes them. and the jobless claims came out yesterday, by the way. On the next jobless claims, I have a question. Thinking ahead with my crystal ball. On the next jobless claims, you know, today was what, 220? It's always 220. If you notice that, it's always right in the range of 220. On the next one, it better be way lower because the longshore people, are you going to report 45 to 50,000 striking workers? They're not at work. So are you going to report them? What about the people in North Carolina that are out of work for 6 months because they have to try to find shelter or rebuild shelter? What about the 200 that lost their lives? Are you going to report them? Of course you're not. I get so angry. Anyway, with the Longshoremen's Association, is it going to lead to a recession? I don't know. I mean, I've already seen on TV, you know, the strike started on Tuesday, right? I mean, this is October 1st. We knew it was coming. The reason that I didn't talk about it much the weeks leading up to it, although Anthony, you and I talked a little bit about it, was because I didn't think it would happen. There's no way they're going to strike. Unions are very, very blue. Unions are Democrat base. There's no way they're going to strike on October 1st when there's an election 5 weeks away. It's impossible. Well, sure, as you know what they did. You know, I heard that the unions are not endorsing Harris. They didn't come out and endorse Trump. I understand that, but they're not endorsing her. They always endorse the Democratic candidate. So that's unusual. Anyway, so they did go on strike. And right away, the first thing I start seeing, which no shock, Costco is busy. Costco is having a run on toilet paper. There's got to be a pun in there somewhere. Pardon my pun of the run on toilet paper. So run on toilet paper and water. Did we learn anything in April of 2020? Should there be any, if there's preppers, if there's people that are just like extra stocking up and you're at Costco getting toilet paper, good on you. But if there's anybody that all of a sudden heard that where there's going to be a strike and it could inconvenience you and you have to run out and buy toilet paper, if you don't have a couple months worth of toilet paper, at this point, I want to call you a bad name. I want to almost say you're an idiot at this point. You don't have to listen to this radio show. You just have to be a person that has Facebook or is breathing to know that you should have a little bit of food and extra food and water and toilet paper at this point. So anyway, there's people that are out there hoarding again. And the strike is literally, 2 days old? This is day three of the strike. My understanding in my research so far, if it goes on for 1 week, not a problem. If it goes on for, and of course, it's costing $4 to $5 billion a day to our economy. If it goes on 2 weeks, we start having a problem. Where we're going to see the problem is auto parts. We're going to see a problem with food. That one surprised me. Produce, meat. I didn't know that stuff is so heavily from other countries. You know, years ago, I did understand that our government used to pay farmers in this country not to farm. So I had heard that. I found that odd. So anyway, so if you like produce, you like bananas, the pictures were always bananas. You like bananas, you like chicken or beef or pork or stuff. You know, there's going to be a run on canned food, kids. There's going to be a run on canned chicken and tuna and Spam and all that stuff. Well,
they said they'll take weeks for anybody to feel what's happening now.
And I say baloney because if I see these pictures and videos, which I have, of people in long lines at Costco, it's affected them from the first day. So who's they that are saying it's going to not affect them? I'm telling you, statistically, I heard 2 weeks is where it tips and it starts leading to supply chain shortages. And then after that, the longer it goes, the worse it'll get. So is this the black swan? Is this where people start, you know, getting panicky? They had to put National Guard at certain Sam's Clubs when they had deliveries of toilet paper 4 years ago.
Well, did they say all this too with the... Was it the railways strike?
Correct. But that was reverted.
The government came in and said, no, you have to go back to work. Well, take a pause.
Yes. But so far, the government is saying absolutely they're not going to get involved. There's something called the 1947 Taft-Hartley Act that a president can use to avert the strike and say you have to go back to work. So when we talk to, you know, when you hear from Biden, he's saying he's not going to do that. Well, is this a revenge play?
And then do it again?
I mean, will they exercise that right before will they come to an agreement? You know, will they exercise that right before the election? I don't know. It almost seems to me like there's more at foot here. If Joe Biden is upset that he was pushed out of rerunning and his wife Jill and some other people are upset, they could very much be washing their hands of this just to make sure this affects Harris. Because if this strike goes on for the next 5 weeks, it will probably affect Harris. Not in a good way. And usually the Republicans don't want to take the side of the union, and they want to stay out of these things. And they're basically trying to get involved, saying to negotiate. So I don't know. This is a little bit weird. So I don't know. I mean, I think it could be a little bit more political than it is logistical. You know, what the Longshore Association dude is asking for is a 70% raise over 6 years. He's asking for big leaps and bounds, better health insurance, better retirement plans. So, he's asking for a lot. You know, people are starting to look into him a little bit. And I guess that's kind of interesting. He makes $900,000+ a year, the head of the union. Cheryl, I mentioned her already. Cheryl sent me a list of what union people make. It's amazing. The janitorial type staff makes in the range of 10 to 20,000. This guy drives a Bentley. He had a big yacht. I don't know if he still has it. The things I read said had a yacht. His base salary is only 400 and something, but he's up to 900,000 a year for his salary total. So I don't know. And then I started reading that he has some potential mob ties. When you hear his interviews, it's not hard to believe. So that's why I'm going to be real gentle and not say much. I don't mind slamming Janet Yellen all the way to the wall, but I'm going to be real careful with this dude. So, we're getting to the end of this segment already, Sam. This week is flying by like all others do. Why don't we do this? Let's take a break and then we'll continue on. Maybe we'll move on from the longshoreman strike because you're hearing it everywhere else too. So thank you so much as always for being with us. We greatly appreciate it. Thank you so much. We had another listener. We had a telephone appointment with a listener. She's a registered nurse. If you're listening, we so much appreciated spending time with you, and hopefully we helped you too. So thank you so much for reaching out to us. If you haven't done so yet, you can find us at 623-523-0444 or email us team@anothermoneyshow.com. I just noticed for the first time when I'm putting out the phone number, the email address, Sam puts it up on the screen. That's probably to help me in my old age to remember it and get it right. So you can email us at team@anothermoneyshow.com, and we will be right back.
This is Another Money Show, except this one's different. This one will actually keep you awake.
Fixed annuities, including multi-year guaranteed rate annuities, are not designed for short-term investments and may be subject to restrictions, fees, and surrender charges as described in the annuity contract. Guarantees are backed by the financial strength and claims-paying ability of the issuer.
If those other money advisors promise you a boatload of money, check the size of the boat and be sure it's your boat, not theirs.
Welcome back. Thank you so much for being with us, Anthony.
You're
and
welcome.
I... Not you.
Oh,
not
that
you.
Wasn't for me. Sorry.
No. Anthony, I greatly appreciate your support. I say all the time, we're little fish in a big pond. And we just, we're talking to a lot of people that listen to the show. So I know it's getting out there. We've been on 2.5 years. I mean, I'd like to talk to more people, but it's going well. This is our time to shine, too, because it seems to me like we are on a collision course with change in this country. We have brought to you the fact that the BRICS nations have a big meeting. It's only 3 weeks out now.
is the October. We've been talking about the October meeting for a long time. Here it is. We're in October. And it's October 3rd right now.
So even close. Normies, even people that don't put on the old tinfoil hat that I like to put on, they know there's always an October surprise. They know what happens to CDs in September and October. They know that in an election year, things could either be really quiet or really not. I think this year I'm going to go with not. I'm watching Donald J. Trump. I believe he's a past president. They tried to put him in jail. He's still a free man. That seemed like it was on hold through the elections. Then they tried to kill him. I mean, 2 times on paper, 4 times that I kind of seem to have found. Now they're trying to put him in jail again. Jack Smith, yesterday, here we go again. So, I know you either have to kill the man or incarcerate the man, but geez, let's get through the election. Let's see if he's president first and then put him in jail and then Epstein him there, I guess. I mean, I still want to see what people do around November 5th-ish. So, yeah, Trump's back in the news with Jack Smith yesterday. One sideline, just because I don't want to forget to say it. I'm just looking at my notes here. Hey, government, whoever you are, Obama, if you're listening, fill the strategic oil reserve. I can't say that enough. If the stuff in Iran and Israel heats up worse, that's going to get worse for barrels of oil. So fill that thing. We are on the verge of World War III. We need that oil if we have to move Humvees and tanks. We need that oil if the Longshoremen's Association is on strike long enough and we go into a recession. If you know what the number one commodity that you have to watch in this country, it isn't chicken and beef and bananas. It's oil. We need to be able to have the trucks and the trains moving to keep our country going. So fill the strategic oil reserve if you would. You know, on a personal note, sometimes we forget to tell people how we are real people that do real work behind the scenes. So my air conditioning went out. On Sunday, it was struggling. And then on Monday, we had no air. If you live in Arizona, and by the way, what the hell, Arizona? 113 degrees on October 1st? Okay, Mother Nature, you piece of this. Yeah, but anyway, so I was without air conditioning. Yesterday, a man named Chuck Knight came out to my home. I'm not a client of his yet. His name is Chuck Knight with Knight Air Conditioning. Man, talk about a guy that's so cool. Spent like 4 hours in my home. He at least filled our unit with whatever refrigerant our government lets us use now to have us cool for now. But we have a bad air conditioner. We've only had it for a year. So we got to get a new air conditioner, which is not cool. But anyway, my thinking when I'm running fans, went to Lowe's and bought a evaporative cooler. We're just trying to keep, we have three dogs. There's three people and three dogs in this house. And we had no air conditioning and we're trying to sleep. I don't do a good job of that any night, but I want to share something with you. If you live in, let's say, Michigan or Illinois or Minnesota or Wyoming or whatever, and the winter's coming up and we have a solar flare that hits our antiquated power grid, or we have an EMP or a high altitude EMP, or we have a cyber attack from the Chinese or the Russians or whatever, and you don't have power for more than a day, be prepared to be miserable. And if you're miserable for like a week, be prepared to get weird. I'm just telling you, this little inconvenience, and even with coolers and air and fans, man, this country's going to panic if we ever lose power. So
or
be
instead
ready.
Of EMPs in China and all those things that are harder for people to grasp, what about a hurricane that's wiped out power in North Carolina?
I bet they're not doing very well right now. I'm guessing, and I don't know their temperature there. I think it's more moderate than ours, but I have a feeling it's very humid. I'm sure they're not feeling good right now. So we tell you all the time, you need to put away food and water. The people that we actually meet with once in a while, depending on their finances, we talk about solar generators. We talk about gas generators and fuel shortage, storage and stable and AV gas. And we talk about all this stuff. You know, good luck going to a traditional financial planner and getting well-rounded financial advice right now, because I don't know how many people are going to tell you this, but you better have a plan. You better have a plan to bug in if we have civil unrest around January 20th. You better plan on being able to bug out if you have no power and it's in Phoenix in October and it's over 100 degrees. Yeah, this is miserable. So, yeah, it was 86 degrees in my home. It was almost unbearable. That was, what day is today? Thursday the 3rd. That was Wednesday the 2nd. It was 86 degrees at 5 a.m. I opened the doors and windows because it was cooler outside at that point. And I put the fans by the doors to suck in the air. And it was just so horrible. Moving on. We have so much to get to. What should I get to? I had a person text me and ask about insurance rates. And I'll make this quick because we all feel the pain. Is North Carolina going to lead to higher insurance rates in Arizona? Well, yeah, these companies, if you're with State Farm or AAA or Geico, they're nationwide, kids. The fires in Maui whether they were organic or set on purpose. The weather in North Carolina, a lot of people are saying that maybe that was man-made. There's a big lithium plant in North Carolina. So now all of a sudden the conspiracy theorists are going, oh, whenever the government wants certain areas of land, there seems to be a natural disaster. I won't spend a lot of time on that because I really, really, I've been pushing my luck on the show. I don't want to get picked up by the van. But North Carolina, if you want to do your own, if you want to do your own research, you may want to look up. I'm pulling this up here. I'm not going to take the time to pull it up, but there's a big lithium plant in North Carolina, and I guess it's underwater. And BlackRock, one of the big three companies that owns a lot in this country, had a contract to buy this thing or something. And now I'm sure they'll get it for pennies on the dollar. So very, very strange what's going on. Anyway, the insurance rates. Yeah, I'm so sorry to tell you this, but when you have Haitians, here we go to Haitians, and they don't know how to drive and they're crashing into each other. Well, why would that affect me? That's in Chicago and that's in, you know, Springfield, Ohio, because the companies are national and they have a certain profit margin in mind, and they're going to get it. Bunch of people in California are losing their insurance. The companies are saying it's too much risk and we're going to stop insuring you. So with simple economics, simple supply and demand means to me that's going to further strain the insurance rates for people in California and the rest of the world. Oh, I saw that Newsom. Sorry to be interjecting politics in a financial show so much. I heard Newsom just like outlawed, banned, whatever you want to call it, checking ID for the upcoming election. Yeah, Anthony, you just made a funny face like a dog hearing a noise. You turned your head slightly and you squinted. So yeah, look it up. I mean, apparently Newsom put out an official bill or whatever, probably like an executive order state level, that said you cannot check ID for the election. I haven't dug into it because, I mean, who cares? I mean, there's going to be such rampant voter fraud anyway. That's just another example. But so the insurance stuff, the drivers, the Haitian drivers, there you go. Sam found it on Politico. California outlaws local voter ID rules. That should scare people, will it? No, I mean, who cares? We don't live in California. Why should we care?
I have to show my ID to buy booze, but you don't have to vote.
Well, yeah, and you can go in the military when you're 18, but I mean, no, everything is so weird, but yeah. So California, good on you. You're the shining example of how to run the country. And I'm sure Newsom will be president eventually. So good luck and God bless to this country. I guess the only other thing I would tell you about the insurance rates, the advice we give people when they're in the office, stop being loyal to your insurance company, your property and casualty company. Go to a broker. We've got two or three here locally that we trust. We've got one go-to and a couple backups, but go to a broker. At least let them do the work of shopping it for you. But brace yourself. If these natural disasters keep going, there could be a day coming up where we just don't have insurance. And what would happen if you don't have insurance and you have a fire or flood? I guess BlackRock could buy your land and they could rebuild because you're not going to own a home. You know, but I'm crazy. Remember when I was talking years ago about one day you will own nothing and you like it and you won't have a car and you live in a smart 50-minute city and you'll eat cricket meal? It's getting closer and closer, it looks like to me, but I'm crazy. So should we get to our articles? One of the things I like, no, we shouldn't, not yet. Well, if we have time for the articles, we'll get to them. I like what you said, Anthony, don't rush. Don't try to get through just because you have it. I want to talk money for a second. With all this uncertainty, with the strike going forth on the 1st of October, and I didn't dream it would be possible because of the election, with the geopolitical situation, if you have an old 401k, and I know every financial advisor on the planet wants you to sit with them and talk to you about your options. You can cash it out. If you're under 59 and a half, you have to watch out for a 10% penalty. If you're over 59% or 59 years old, you have to watch out for taxes. If you have an old 401k, you can cash it out. You can move it to your new employer, or you can put it into an IRA. You have options. Let us sit with you on those options. And I say this because I'm amazed how often we find people with old 401ks. And I think part of the reason why they don't do anything with it, one, it's a hassle. I don't know where my statements are. I got to find where it is. Two, they don't want to make a mistake. If I accidentally get in front of a financial advisor, they might sell me something. I'm just telling you, with all this weirdness, this market that Anthony swears can never go down, it's going to. When you throw a ball up in the air, sooner or later, it tends to fall down, even if you throw it really, really high up. So make sure you look at your 401k. We've got something interesting going on right now with CDs, with our preferred mode for CD type money. We use insurance companies. So we love to educate people on something called a MYGA. It's a multi-year guaranteed annuity. Ooh, he said the A word. You better research annuities. You know, what is your social security? Oh, it's an annuity. What is your, you get a pension, right, from your old company if you're in your 50s or older. What's it in? Oh, it's an annuity. If you win the lottery and you take the 20-year payment, where do they put that? Do they put it in a bank account? No, they do not. They put it in an annuity. Anyway, we got an interesting situation going on right now with these products. We went roughly, I know you don't remember this, kids, because you know the rates have been so good. You can get a 5-year CD all of a sudden, but for 15 years, you couldn't. If you committed your money for 5 years, you got about 1%. So anyway, we never want to be the kind of office that says, you know, you better act today. The law of scarcity, you got to get it now. But I'm going to do a little bit of that on purpose. We have been able to help people diversify. We love the idea of moderation and diversification. We do a laddering approach with people's money. We make sure they have an emergency fund. If it's a good fit for them, we make sure they have stocks and bonds. We do all the financial stuff in our office. But one of the big things we're telling people in uncertain times, make sure you have covered your lifetime income. Make sure you understand your CD, if we have a bank run, has 1.2 as of the third quarter numbers. They have 1.2% coverage on your money under $250,000. Yes, I understand that limit. You get 100% return with the insurance companies. But I'm not going to name the name of a company. I will tell you today's date is the 3rd of October. We have a one-year company. If you did a one-year product with this company, after 1 year, you get a 30-day window, just like a CD. You can let it roll. You can pull it out. You can take part of it out. A week ago, October 1st, it changed. A week ago, we could have gotten you 5.5%. Was it 5, Anthony, or 5.5%? Now, today, we can only get you 4.5%. Every single, and we are fully independent, every single company that we work with and know of has been reducing rates, not just because the Fed in their infinite wisdom has lowered things by 50 basis points, and they're talking about doing it again two more times. No, they started doing that because they see what's coming. So if you're going to safeguard some money, I would urge you to reach out to your advisor. If you direct your own money, I would urge you to look into it now, because these companies are lowering their rates. So we've got this window where CDs...
Yeah, they lower the rates so people buy back into the stock market.
Or
that these large corporations can borrow money for free from the Fed. To do what? Yeah. You also keep up the stock market, because yes, Inflation's not a thing anymore. We shouldn't be punishing savers, because all hail the stock market.
Did you say hail? All hail. Are you from North Carolina? All hail. All right. So all I'm saying to people, we're never one of these. You got to get it today because it won't be here tomorrow. I would reach out sooner than later if you want our ideas on how to safeguard your money. And, you know, one of the chances we take, because generally, like right, 95% of every time we sit with somebody and we do financial planning, we follow up in writing. There's a lot of broker dealers. There's a lot of companies that will not let their advisors put things in writing. We are a fourth generation, fully independent, veteran-owned family practice. We, almost every case, do a written plan. We do a summary of our appointment and a written plan. We date it. We make sure people understand, if we give rates, that they are on that day. I can tell you something. If we've given you a written plan in the last 6 months when these rates have been so high and you haven't gotten back to us, now is the time. I'll end it there, because we're not an infomercial. We're not a sales presentation each week, but I want to make sure you know things are changing rapidly. The risk is too great, potentially, in your securities money, and the rates are still at a really high point. I don't believe they will be for that much longer, but of course, that's my opinion, not specific advice or inside knowledge. Moving on, let's get to a couple articles. Anthony, should I start? No, I'm not going to start with yours, because we still have a few minutes left, according to Sam, the one and only Sam Davis, who, thank you so much. There was a survey that came out on how Sam is doing, and I gave Sam a 10 out of 10. You know why I gave Sam a 10 out of 10? because there wasn't an 11. All right, Daily Hodel. What movie was that? What movie?
So cheesy. And you're probably talking about Spinal Tap.
Of course I am. Yeah, yeah. You are our media guru. It's I can be cheesy. I'm an old man.
I don't watch Janet Yellen or Jerome Powell or Vice President debate. So I've got to.
They watch you. They love us. They all subscribe to YouTube. They love my cheesiness. They think you're too. They think you're mean to me. They think you're condescending to me. They don't even think you should have called me cheesy. They think you should go, that guy JR is good for AM radio. That guy's good. That guy's good. So let me read the headline to a couple of these. I won't dig into them. Daily Hodel. You know, I love the Daily Hodel. Quick and to the point. You kids are great. From September 27th, I have to give the date because Sam finds these right away. So 100, am I saying this right? 100 million. I did that pause for effect. That was cheesy too. 100 million.
Million.
Americans exposed in massive data breach, revealing names, locations, dates of birth, IP addresses, phone numbers, and more. We just had that huge, massive, like 6 billion. There's only 8 billion people on the planet. There was that 6 billion person breach, I don't know, a month ago. Now that here's a new one. This one says nearly one third of the U.S. population has had their sensitive personal data exposed in a massive new breach. This is a new one, kids. If you think we're just regurgitating stories we gave you over the last month, no, this is a new one. The background check company, this ought to make you feel good when you're trying to keep your credit score up. The background check company, MC2 Data, maybe it's MC Squared, that'd be more, has left a stunning amount of information out in the open, likely due to human error, reports Cyber News. August 7th, by the way, today we're in October, so your stuff's already out there. August 7th, they uncovered this 2.2 terabyte of people's data. Anything else here that's important? Business Bureau operates the this is kind of funny. MC2 Data shares over 2 billion public records from thousands of sources, according to the Better Business Bureau, and operates under the name Private Records. So that's funny. So MC2, you're operating under the name Private Records. I think
don't produce stuff private.
Yes, unless you're talking about your own privates, unless you're talking about something crude here, which I will not allude to because I'm above that. You may want to change your name to Public Records and let people know what happens with their information, but that's just me. So one more article that I want to get to, and I'll just touch on it because it's not financial, but I just want to hit it up because it's probably the most important article, and we brought you some really humdingers on articles, but this one's kind of important, and I just think you should read this if you can find it, or we'll always send it to you. We always keep these in case you reach out and you're like, oh, I like that article. We just sent one in the mail to our buddy Art. Talked about Art last week. We sent him an article in the mail a couple weeks ago. So here's one from MSN.com. The opinion is from Amy Swearer. I love the name, Amy Swearer. I'm just picturing her with Tourette's, from the Heritage Foundation. Let's see here. It's hard to reconcile Vice President Kamala Harris's friendly overtures to gun owners with the footage that recently emerged of a 2007 press conference in which the then district attorney of San Francisco said cops could conduct random home inspections to enforce compliance with the city's new storage laws. Yes, really. She told reporters, and I quote, "We're going to require responsible behaviors among everybody in the community. And just because you legally possess a gun in the sanctity of your locked home doesn't mean that we are not going to walk into that home and check to see if you're being responsible and safe in the way you conduct your affairs." On one hand, it's not particularly surprising to hear Harris voice her support for a policy that, even as gun control wish lists go, is pretty extreme. The press conference occurred, after all, just 1 year before she signed into an amicus brief in District of Columbia versus Heller that they defended the district's complete ban on handgun possession and argued against any constitutional right to own guns in the first place. When they say reasonable, when they say things that make you think it's going to be reasonable how they attack our Second Amendment, don't believe it. Because this woman is likely to be your next president, and she does not want you to own a firearm. I'll just read one more little part here. Harris isn't some amateur on criminal law who can claim ignorance. She knows, or at least should know, that the Fourth Amendment protects people from unreasonable searches and seizures. As a general rule, the government can't search a person or his or her property without a warrant or absent probable cause that a crime has been committed. She should also know that there's no Second Amendment loophole to the Fourth Amendment. There's no asterisk with fine print excluding gun owners from the rest of the Bill of Rights. Harris' comments should rightfully terrify Americans. You don't have to be a gun owner or even like guns to see how dangerous this theory of governance is to a free society and how dramatically it undermines constitutional norms. All right, we're not a financial show, but as a veteran and as a person who believes in the Constitution, the Second Amendment says shall not be infringed. We've allowed it to be infringed for decade after decade, but this potential new president is going to go further, and you need to be ready for that because the Second Amendment is the only amendment that protects the First, and in this article's case, the Fourth. So I wanted to bring that up in case the show gets canceled. You know, she's a listener too. Ooh-wee, that is the closest I've been to the heart attack and stroke level since we've been on the air, because I'm very passionate about the fact that this country needs to chill out. So there's a chance, Sam, for you and Anthony and you and for Nicholas and for Jay. We need people to have a future in this country, and our politicians are scaring me, so you need to know about it. Why don't we switch to a quick funny article and then Anthony's article? The funny article was from Benzinga. Been holding this one for a while. It just didn't come to the surface as important. Benzinga, from the 16th of September, Warren Buffett's daughter asked him for a $41,000 loan to remodel her kitchen, but he told her no. So Warren Buffett, one of the wealthiest people in the world with a net worth of $142 billion, according to Bloomberg, is also known for his generosity. He has donated billions to charity over the years. But when it comes to his kids, handouts are not part of the deal. Find that hilarious. You know, look up the article if you want to see more, but it's just funny. I'm sure he was doing the right thing by tough love and teaching his kids.
A ton of articles about not giving inheritances and not helping family. But I mean, what's the point of having all of that money if you're not going to help family?
And my point is, here's a guy who's presumably the smartest investor ever born, one of the wealthiest people on this planet. His daughter wanted help with her kitchen remodel, not, you know, to go to the casino. And he said no. So it's weird. The article that I did want to hit, because Anthony, you sent it to me. Whenever you send me an article, I'd like to touch base on them. The article is from MoneyWise from the 27th of September. The title, My Mom, 65, inherited $450,000 when my dad died. But now she's hooked on slots and burning through the cash. How can I protect our family's assets before it's too late? I want to read two different statistics. And then, Anthony, I would like your thoughts on this. The first statistic I would like to read to you, because this is kind of shocking to me. Let's see here. Where is the statistic? I should be ready if I have statistics. Anyway, it was about probate. And it was about how probate is extremely expensive.
No, you're talking about, that was the Rupert Murdoch.
Oh, article. You're right.
Right. Like, what are you talking about probate with? So that one, I mean, it even said in there, you know, possibly put that money into an annuity so it replenishes. And I know we've said that a bunch of times on the show. People can mess up assets just like this woman, you know, $450,000, and you screw it up somehow because assets go up and down, you can spend them. But if you have an income stream and you spend what you have allotted to you for a month, it's going to come back the next month. So she can gamble all she wants within budget, setting herself up an income stream. So, but it's just a hilarious article because it's essentially the Murdoch family is going through probate and fighting over the estate. And the moral of that story is it does not matter how smart and rich or whatever you are, you're still going to make the same dumb estate planning mistakes as everybody else. And I find that hilarious. Like, these people know better. They know better. They shouldn't be going through any of this.
And before you say goodbye to people, the statistics, I did find them. You're right. I was reading two different articles at once. Probate can typically range from 3% to 7% of the estate, meaning a $750,000 estimate would incur costs between $22,500 and $52,500. Worse than all of this, according to the American Bar Association, this can delay asset distribution for 6 to 9 months.
Jeez.
Crazy. Crazy. Take us out.
Get your estate planning in order. That's it for today. If you like what you heard, have questions on any of the topics today, or want to sit down with us to review your personal situation, you can reach us at team@anothermoneyshow.com. Find us on the web, anothermoneyshow.com. You can book appointments with us straight from the website. There are no minimums. There's no cost for appointments. There's nothing to lose by getting a second opinion on your financial situation. We'll see you again next Saturday at noon right here at 960 The Patriot.
Thanks for listening to Another Money Show. You deserve to work with a private wealth management firm that will strategically work to protect your hard-earned assets. To schedule your free, no-obligation consultation, visit anothermoneyshow.com. Investment advisory services offered through Brookstone Capital Management, LLC, BCM, a registered investment advisor. BCM and Rochford Financial are independent of each other. Insurance products and services are not offered through BCM, but are offered and sold through individually licensed and appointed agents. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Past performance cannot be used as an indicator to determine future results.